Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew, chapter 13. On Sunday nights, we've been going through and teaching and preaching on the teachings of Christ. And we started way back when Christ was 12 years of age, and we've been going through and looking at it as the very words that were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know the whole Bible is God's Word, but it's a blessing to be able to study it and to look at the teachings of Christ in chronological order, and we're using all the Gospels to be able to do that, and we're going in order. We're in the end of the second year of His public ministry at this point, and the next event in the teachings of Christ would be the parable of the tares amongst the wheat. And so let's go ahead and read, if you'll stand with me tonight, if you're able to stand. Going to be looking at Matthew chapter 13, and this is what he, first of all, gives in verse 24 down to verse 30. The Bible says, "And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. And the servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you again, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be in church on this Sunday night. For all that took advantage of their opportunity and have come tonight, and Lord, what we've already experienced and just being here, it's been a blessing. But now as we've opened up your precious word and we've read your teaching here of the tares among the wheat, I know that you have a message for each and every one of us here tonight from this. Pray that you'd empower and use the preaching of thy word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This is what Jesus gave as a parable of the tares amongst the wheat. And then right after that, we find in verse 36, the disciples come to him and wanted an understanding of this parable. And so we find in verse 36 down to verse 43, Jesus interprets the parable. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. And as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Wow. That's a powerful parable and even a more powerful interpretation. The two sowers, there's two sowers. One is a son of man, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the other is the good seed is not the word of God. This is a little different from the sower that sowed the word of God. The good seed, the wheat, are the children of the kingdom. Did you get that? It's believers being planted where God wants to plant them. If you're saved and in the will of God, you are where God wants you to be. You've been planted. If you're a Hoosier, God wanted you to be a Hoosier. Not a Cavalier or a Buckeye. Now we have some transplants. I'm just making fun of my son-in-law there. But the good seed, the wheat, he says, is the children of the kingdom, believers being planted. The tares are the children of the wicked one. Individuals, people, children of the wicked one, unbelievers, the deceived, that don't even realize that they are tares. Most of the tares do not realize that they're tares because devil is a deceiver. He makes them think they're something different. He blinds them to the reality of Christianity or to the reality even of God, but he plants them. Being planted by the wicked one. The field is the world. Not just Indiana or Ohio or Florida or Alabama. It's the world. The harvest is the end of the world, beginning with the rapture, which could take place anytime. Matter of fact, we've preached many messages here in the last couple months on being ready for either your departure or the rapture, where you will depart if you're saved. So the harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels of God. The place to burn the tares, the Bible says they will be burned, is called a furnace, which is, according to the Bible, Gehenna, hell, which was created to house the devil and his angels and all that follow after him for an eternity where there is no escape. God has prepared a place. It's called Gehenna, hell. The place for the wheat, my barn, the Bible says, is the kingdom of their Father. A loving home, as we preach on this morning, that has a door, which is Jesus Christ, and when you're part of the family, you go in and out, it's your home. Yeah, it's heaven. That's the parable and the interpretation of the things that are found in this parable. And so there's much to learn, much that God would have us to learn from this parable. It's much that his disciples needed to learn then, and much that we need to learn even tonight. And I think one of the first thing is, we need to realize there continues to be much going on in the world. More important than what you're hearing from CNN, what you're hearing from Fox News, there's a lot of that going on in the world. But God wants us to be aware of the most important thing that's going on in the world. Because this world is going to come to an end. The most important thing going on in the world is understanding that there is still two sowers. God's Holy Spirit, representing the Lord Jesus Christ, is sowing believers, planting believers, and empowering believers around the world. And likewise, Satan is sowing tares. I'm here to tell you tonight that people are getting saved around the world. Because this is God's plan. That's one of the, that is the great commission for his church. We understand, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the world. And then the Great Commission, as we find that Jesus Christ established for his church, is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And can I tell you that we are preaching the gospel around the world? With all the other things going on in the world, can I tell you that there are churches just like this in every area around the world that has taken the Bible, the Word of God, and is sowing the seed of the Word. And when they are sowing the seed of the Word, the Holy Spirit of God is taking those that get saved and he's planting them where he wants them to be in every part of the world. The sun never goes down on the ministries at the Lighthouse Baptist Church. We just added another three missionaries, missionary projects. I think it brought us up to about 75, 76. Because that's God's plan. It's taking place. Stop listening to all the negative things that's going on in the world and start rejoicing in what's positive. And start rejoicing in knowing that you have part in doing exactly what God wants to do and planting wheat that's going to bear fruit for the Lord all around the world, because the world is his harvest. Yeah. Second thing we have to be aware of, and that is there's a great number of people that are rejecting Christianity. And they're rejecting Christianity because Satan is sowing tares that influence them to believe in a false god and turn from the God of creation. It's happening all around the world. Yeah. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 25, "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat." While men slept, while believers failed to represent Christ where they have been planted to represent Christ, When people are not hearing the truth, they will be more apt to believe lies. God has planted each one of us in strategic places, in your families, in your place of employment, in your schools, even in the church and in the world, to produce fruit. We need to be aware that we have been planted by God where we're at to bear fruit for Him. Amen. And when we fail to bear fruit, that is to witness and to help people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, then they will be influenced by tares and believe a lie and therefore become tares. That's what he's getting. That's the message of this parable. Can I tell you that tares can be and are everywhere. Anywhere there's wheat, the Bible says there will be tares. The wheat is known by its fruit. In verse 26, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And the servants of the householder came and said to him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in the field? Then from whence then hath the tares? Because the tares were not producing wheat. And they realized that there were tares in amongst the wheat. Eventually, in time, the fruit is what sets the wheat apart from the tares. It will come out eventually. We don't know how much damage can be done before, but it will come out. The wheat will glorify God, and the tares will glorify the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they will try to influence the wheat to turn against glorifying God to the world, the flesh, and the devil. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus presented this also in earlier on in Matthew chapter 7, and he gives us some insight here that we need to be aware of. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, in verse 13, he was talking to them about salvation. And enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate that broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because they are being influenced by the tares, who say there's more than one way to get to heaven, that a loving God would never burn any tare or wheat. There can't be a place of hell if there's a loving God. No, that's not true. If there is a loving, just God, justice demands judgment. Yeah. And he says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And when you look at the world, not just the United States of America, which is basically was established as a Christian nation. No matter what anyone might try to tell you, this was established as a Christian nation based upon the Bible, the words of God. But when it comes to the world, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. When it comes to the population of the world, the overwhelming population are not going to find. That's sad. That's a scary thought, but that's Bible. So then he says, Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. They look like Christians. They might even claim to be Christian. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Wolves in sheep's clothing that many times do not even realize that they're not sheep. Ye shall know them by their fruits. The fruit is, do you want to glorify God? Do you want to associate yourself with Christ? Do you believe in the doctrines that He established for us to live by? Are you part of the church that He established for us to not to forsake? Have you received Him as your Savior? Have you then wanted to identify with Him publicly in baptism? That's the things we need to ask ourselves, because that is bearing fruit. Verse 22, he said in the very same chapter, chapter 7, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then while I profess unto them, a scary thought, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Or you're living in sin. The whole time you claimed to be a believer, you lived in sin. It's sad to have a church member that might be deceived and is truly a wolf without even realizing it in sheep's clothing, that tried to influence other church members in the ways of the world instead of the ways of God, and they don't even know that they're doing that as a wolf. But how sad it is when you have leadership. When you have those that people look to as men of God, when you look to those that people look to as positions in the church, and yet they hold a position, but they don't hold the truth in their hearts. As a pastor, I hear about a lot of things around the world on the mission field. Missionaries getting caught up in things and leaving the ministry for the lust of the flesh and the lust of the world and the lust of the pride of life. Early on in my ministry here, of course, it's been about 25 years ago, I had a couple families come in and wanted to talk with me, and both of the ladies had been abused by an independent fundamental Baptist preacher who preyed upon them from his church. Devastated. Devastated. The one said, I got saved underneath this man. Does that mean that I'm not saved? I said, did he save you? No. Were you saved because of the Word of God? Did you believe the Word of God? And did you do what the Bible said you need to do to get saved? Then praise God if you did what the Bible said. It's the Word of God that saves. It's Jesus Christ and His blood that saves. You've been prayed upon. I went to that man. I confronted him. I remember him scared to death that I was coming to his house to confront him over that. Of course, he denied it all. Later on, found out to be true. left the ministry. And I'm thinking, I would never want to be in your shoes and face an almighty creator God and give an account for what you've done. Eventually you'll know them by the fruit. The thing of it is, both will grow together until the end. That's what he says. Go back with me there. Matthew chapter 13. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. And the servant said unto him, wilt thou that then that we go and gather them up? Well, I wish he would let us do that. But he said, nay. And this is the reasoning. Lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Because you might make a mistake. Matter of fact, you probably would make a mistake. A mistake of babe in Christ as a tare. Because they've not conformed to what you think Christianity ought to conform to. And you wouldn't give them time enough to grow. No, I don't want you to do that. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares. I want to deal with them and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Let God do it. We have to be careful not to judge. Now, listen to me. We use judgment every day of our lives. We have to use judgment to know how to respond to different things. But we cannot predetermine why someone does what they do. And we cannot judge their hearts, for we can't see into their heart. If we judge ourselves because we're limited in what we can see and what we can know, we'll root up the wheat. He would not allow them to do that. We can use judgment by looking at fruit and stay away from anything that is not from God. Pray for that individual. But we have to let God, who can and will. 1 Corinthians in chapter 4. Everybody following me tonight? It is a powerful passage of scripture that Jesus gives to us in this parable. 1 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he says, for I know nothing by myself. How we need to grasp that. Don't think that you can see into the heart and the mind of people and claim to know a person's motives. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. God can do a better job in judging me than even I can do in judging myself. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. See, some begin their Christian lives on fire, and they end it in humiliation and disgrace. Are they saved? Were they ever saved? I'm sure glad I don't have to make that call. I shouldn't think that I should want to make that call. I should say, God knows. Some come forward, make a profession of salvation, and then you don't see them again until maybe a few years later. And then they come back and they're on fire to serve the Lord. Were they saved at first? I don't know. And neither do you. But they're coming back and claim that as their day of salvation, then I'm all for it, because it eventually came out. They eventually come under the conviction, the chastisement, to where they could not and did not want to live without glorifying God in their lives. And praise the Lord, I see that. We've been here 36 years. I've seen just a little bit of everything. I'm sure glad I don't have to judge, be the one to determine if they're tares or wheat. If David's life, King David's life, were judged by his sin with Bathsheba, we would all have missed out on many blessings. He was scarred by it. I think if you'd talked to him the day after, he would have wished he had never done it. But he was still used of God after repentance. Many judge by associations. And quite honestly, I've got to use judgment by associations. If someone is associated with something that I should not be associated with, then I should not be associated with that. Whether or not they're wheat or tares, that's for God to determine. But I believe that a Christian, a born-again believer, ought to want to associate with Christ. And an example of Christianity. Sometimes we see those that are scarred by their past lives. The scars reveal certain things, but it does not reveal whether they're a tare or a wheat. It's the fruit. And sometimes somebody that has the scars of worldly associations can reach other people that you or I or someone else could not reach. And God planted them there to do just that. Let's get back to the beginning. If you're wheat, God planted you where you're at to bear fruit for Him. Don't let anybody judge you. You can't go back, and one of the things we're going to go into on Sunday morning that I just mentioned to you, that Satan wants to hinder you and your joy, is you let the past control your future. You can't let the past control your future. You have to deal with it and put it behind you and move on. No matter what the scars, move on to continue to serve Christ and produce fruit as wheat. I'm going to close. Let's look back to our text here, because this is something we need to know. The day of harvest will come. everyone will give an account of themselves. We will. It's a just, God demands justice. And he will. In the end, the Bible says in verse 30, I'm sorry, get back over to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. He explains that, verse 40, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. That's called in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14, the white throne judgment. There will be a white throne judgment. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The reality of judgment, that's what the Bible says. Then shall the righteous. Now I like to focus more on the blessing than the judgment. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The brightness of the sun. There's going to be something that connects us to in heaven. The brightness. There's going to be no darkness. And there's no need of the sun. But it's going to be brightness. I don't know if we'll be a 60 watt or an 80 watt or 100 watt. But brightness is going to come into play somewhere. Amen. If they make 1,000 watt, I want 1,000 watt. Incomparable to what we have to deal with today. Don't you hate it when you go into a room and it's got a 40 watt one bulb and you're expected to see what's in the room? Get rid of that 40 and put 100 in there. No. Yeah. We'll shine as forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And then he says this. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. An invitation. Listen. Take it in. Learn from it. And apply it to your life. If I could have every head bowed tonight. A whole lot here about the tares among the wheat. Trust that you've kept your heart and mind open to whatever it is that God wanted to speak to you about through this. I just preached the word. Can I encourage you to make applications as you need to make? Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you and thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Jesus, for this parable and giving us the understanding of the parable that we might even apply it to our lives today. I pray that's what will take place right now, right here, during this invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.